We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning.
Congressman, we saw how Rhode Island's unemployment rate ticked up a tenth of a percent to 8.9% in July. You've been a supporter of trying to create more manufacturing jobs. We know how the Obama administration is doing a national competition that could result in an award of up to $25 million for some locations. Short of that, what should local, state, and federal officials be doing in Rhode Island now to try and boost manufacturing jobs here?
Well, I mean, one of the most important things we can do to help boost manufacturing jobs here is to really invest in workforce training. One of the things I hear from manufacturers all the time when I'm out visiting is their difficulty in finding people with the skills necessary for the manufacturing jobs of the 21st century. It used to be you could graduate from high school and walk down to the manufacturing facility where your parents worked and get a job. That's no longer the case. I mean, manufacturing requires a much higher level of skills that requires some, you know, education beyond high school. And so investing in good workforce training programs that provide the skills necessary for the jobs that are available in manufacturing is one strategy.
You've been an observer of the Rhode Island scene for a long time now. Do you think Rhode Island needs some kind of bold game changer to try and boost or juice the economy?
Absolutely. I don't think there's a sort of single silver bullet to do this. We need to all be working together at the local, state, and federal levels to build on the assets we have. And there's a lot of good stuff happening with new technology startups in Rhode Island, a lot of good work in biotechnology and life sciences, some exciting work in advanced manufacturing. We need to be investing in the things that are necessary to grow our economy, like our infrastructure, our education system, look at tax reform. But I think it's sort of an all-hands-on-deck approach to really, and then market our state. You know, part of this is also out there kind of promoting investment in Rhode Island and helping existing companies grow. But I think there isn't a single answer to this, but it really is making everyone's focus. What can we do to help rebuild the Rhode Island economy and get Rhode Islanders back to work?
You know, you're a good talker, Congressman, but guess what? Washington, you people, not you personally, but Washington's been making this worse. The sequester,
no,
you talk to everybody in the defense industry, you talk to local social service people. This sequester has been very damaging to not only the economy in Rhode Island, but across the country.
No, you're absolutely right. The sequester has been very, very devastating, and it gets worse each year. We have got to replace sequester. We have a bill I'm a co-sponsor to do that. We have been pressing hard to the Republican House leadership to bring a bill to the floor to replace sequester. But Washington's adding to the problem, not just because of sequester. They're adding to the problem because they refuse to pass a budget. The speaker won't appoint conferees for a budget committee, so we can't get a budget. They won't pass a transportation appropriations bill, which means investing in our roads and bridges. They won't pass a farm bill that includes nutrition programs. So we have a group of Republicans that are controlling their caucus that refuse to compromise or find common ground on any of these important issues. And
well,
you're right, it's making it worse.
And you go back to Washington, and I'm wondering, President Obama, as a precondition for making any deals on the budget, should he first get from the Republicans an agreement that they will not play games with default with the debt ceiling?
Yes. Look, the president has been very clear. Secretary Lew has been very clear. The White House is not negotiating on the debt ceiling. We're not going to negotiate on whether or not America pays its bills for costs that this Congress approved already. I think the president has been very clear on that. Hope he stays strong on it. We should pay our bills. We cannot afford the kind of economic devastation that would cause come from a default. And we should settle that issue, but we should adopt a budget. You know, we passed a budget. The Republican passed a budget in the House. The Democrats passed a budget in the Senate. We should have a conference committee to work out the differences. The Speaker of the House has so far refused to appoint a budget conference committee, and it's because they can't defend the Ryan budget in public in a joint conference committee. It's indefensible, and they know it, so they just refuse to appoint a conference committee. This is just one more example of folks who are committed to getting nothing done and are being trying to be obstacles of progress. Look, we've got to find compromise. We've got to get things done on behalf of the American people, and it requires us to find common ground and work together. And the far right of the Republican caucus will not allow that to happen.
Congressman Jim Langevin, and you were recently on opposite sides of a vote to curtail the National Security Agency's bulk collection of phone records from millions of Americans. You voted in favor of curtailing that collection. What did Congressman Langevin get wrong on this vote?
I voted against funding that program because I believe that the kind of wide-scale collection of data that that program provides for is something that really does violate our basic principles of privacy, and that we have the ability to have an effective program with some limitations on that NSA program that would not undermine its effectiveness, but would respect basic principles of privacy and civil liberties. For example, you could have the data collection done not by the government, but by the telephone companies who already have the data. Simply say, you keep the data, and if the government has a basis to ask for it, they can ask you for it. So there are some reforms that we can do that will narrow the program, that will be consistent with our deeply held principles of privacy and civil liberties, and at the same time, effectively protect the American people.
One thing I'm not hearing a lot of talk about from you or other Democrats is the looming problems with the Affordable Care Act. It looks, if you look around the country, it looks like some states, like Rhode Island, are actually trying to do the right thing and put this into effect, whereas other states, like a 30 of them or so, mostly red states run by Republican governors, are not setting up their own state-run exchanges. So we're going to have a quilt work of health care plans.
Yeah,
it looks like they just want this to fail, and they don't want to actually put it into practice.
Oh, I don't think there's any question that there's their intention. I mean, this is a Republican leadership that has...
Why haven't the Democrats spoke out more about this?
No, you're absolutely right. The Republican leadership in the House has brought bills to the floor to undermine or defund the Obamacare 40 or so times. There are Republican governors all across the country that are refusing to implement it. Rhode Island is a stark contrast to that, and I think we're going to be in a very good position. But, you know, this is a complicated piece of legislation, has lots of good provisions that's going to allow 30 million more Americans to have access to health care, ends discrimination against individuals with pre-existing medical conditions, allows young people to stay on their parents' plans until they're 26, lowers prescription drug costs for seniors by closing the donut hole, ends lifetime caps on plans. So there are a lot of really good things in this piece of legislation. What people, I think, will realize is this is a complicated bill. It's not going to be perfect. We should be prepared to improve it and tweak it in any way that we can to make it work for Rhode Island and for our country. But instead of spending the last 3 years looking at how it's being implemented, how can we improve it, how can we respond to issues that arise, instead they've spent the whole time trying to defund it. And it's irresponsible. This is the law of the land. We should be working together to make sure it works, not only for Rhode Islanders, but for people all across this country.
We're talking here with Congressman David Cicilline. And Congressman, it's my understanding that State Treasurer Gina Raimondo, who, as we know, is widely expected to run for governor next year, has repeatedly visited your Providence home recently. Is that the case? And if so, what is the purpose of those visits?
No, she hasn't repeatedly visited my Providence home, but she's a neighbor down the street from me. I've known the treasurer and the governor and the mayor, who are all likely candidates, for a number of years. I consider all of them friends.
If you had to vote today, who would you choose? Which one?
You know, fortunately, I don't have to vote today, but they're all, I think, very qualified, and I think we're going to be in a position to have some very good choices in the Democratic primary, and I look forward to enthusiastically supporting the Democratic nominee.
Republicans seem very likely to maintain control of the House of Representatives next November. Will that undermine the ability of Democrats to get much of their agenda done?
I think it will undermine the ability of America to get anything done if the Republicans stay in control. But, you know, we need 17 seats to take the House back. I think if the Tea Party Republicans continue to behave the way they are and obstruct progress on any of the urgent issues facing our country, that we have a real opportunity to take the House back. But the reality is, whoever's in control, my obligation, my responsibilities are the same: to work hard, to bring as many resources as I can back to Rhode Island with my colleagues, to solve individual cases for constituents, and to fight for legislation that I think is important for Rhode Island and important to rebuilding America's economy. So the fact that it's going to be hard if the Republicans stay in control just means we have to work harder to kind of get things done. But I hope that people will see that the time has come to change the leadership of the Congress, that if you're happy with the way this House has operated for the last 4 years, you should support Republicans staying in power. If you want to take this country and our Congress in a different direction, I think it's time to vote for Democratic leadership in the House.
What's the legal basis for U.S. intervention in Syria?
It's clear that while there are treaties which make the use of chemical weapons illegal and a violation of international law, the question is, what is an appropriate response?
You were a very loyal supporter of Hillary Clinton when she ran for president in 2008. Had she been elected, do you think she would have done a better job than Barack Obama?
I think it's very hard to evaluate how someone would have done in a job. But I think, you know, the president is doing a very good job. I think Hillary Clinton would be a terrific president. I hope to have the opportunity to vote for her very soon.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Congressman David Cicilline.
Thank you for having me.